All right. Oh my goodness. Can you guys hear me? You just let me know. Oh boy. All right. Well, I see you guys on there. Anyone can hear me right now? Just want to make sure before I do a call here. I'm assuming you can see. Can you see the screen? Well, it's showing up for me. But yeah, can you guys hear me at all? Let me type this in here. Can anyone hear me? Let's find out. Let's hope the answer is yes. Turn up the volume. Okay. Let me see here. Is that better? I can hear you, but barely. No. Okay. Let's see. Can you hear me now? Is it any better? Let me see. Very low. All right, let me try. Hold on 1 second. Is that any better? There you are. Yeah, yeah. Okay, that is better. Okay, it's working. You can hear me. Excuse me. All right. Well, thank you for hanging in there. I apologize for this here. My main computer went down in flames last week, so I'm in the process of getting it fixed, and so I had to kind of duct tape together a solution here, and so I'm glad it's working now. But again, I'll just let you know, I'm going to do it a little bit differently this week than normal. Basically, we're just going to look at that one page. I'm going to go through it because I don't have my fancy stuff working today, so bear with me. Hopefully, though, I have some stuff, and this will be kind of fun. And what we'll do is two ways. One, I've got some things I'm going to go through. Basically, I wanted to share with you, I've been talking a little bit about my cholesterol stuff, you know, a few times over the past year here. And then what I want to do is I'm going to talk about a couple topics that came up in some of my private sessions this week that I thought would be interesting for anyone. And so it's going to be kind of a miscellaneous kind of grab bag sort of lesson here. And so if you have any questions, you know, or anything going on, you know, feel free to write those in and I'll talk about those. Cause again, I don't think this will be the longest call ever tonight. So, okay. So the first thing I want to talk about my cholesterol, right? Cause, it was literally a year ago. I had got my cholesterol tested and it was high. It was 255, right? So again, everyone's, I suppose, has different definitions of what's high and what's normal and all the rest of it. But, anything over 200 is considered, you know, higher than ideal. And so anyways, I got that and I was a little surprised because again, I mean, as you know, I eat pretty clean, but I wasn't eating a lot of eggs. And so I just wanted to share with you some of the strategies because, you know, the first thing is that during this process, you know, for all of us, this is a lifelong process, right? Because our bodies change. You know, over time, situations change. And again, it gets easier and easier as we live healthier, but there's always things we have to adapt to, right? And kind of respond to. And so I say that to you because again, I'm not going to lie. When I saw that reading, I was kind of discouraged. I was upset. I'm like, geez, I feel like I do so many things right. And so again, regardless of whether it's, you know, it's my cholesterol number, but it might be your weight. It might be someone else's blood sugar. You know what I mean? It can be any reading can kind of throw us off. And so again, I kind of went through that initial phase of frustration, denial and anger. I started looking up books that said, hey, cholesterol is not even a bad thing. And then, you know, I kind of came back and I said, all right, what do I want to do here? And again, this is especially concerning to me because again, my father's history, he'd passed away at 54 of a heart attack. So I'm always kind of sensitive to anything that is, you know, related to heart health. So, again, when you first get these numbers and they're not what you want them to be, to a certain degree, the stepping on the scale can trigger the same kind of emotion. Understand that it's, again, we want to understand that when that happens, we're going to go into kind of a, not the most resourceful state, right? We might get upset. We might get angry, you know, whatever it may be, discouraged, depressed. And that's normal. Okay. So again, you don't have to respond right away. You want to appreciate, okay, give yourself a little bit of time to just kind of take the information in, recover with it, and then formulate a plan. And this is where I think this you hear me talk about this a lot, but I wanted to say this to you because this was a specific situation. And I've done this for a long time. When I talk about long-term thinking, It's just so important. And it really, the thinking long term is almost like deprogramming. Like people that are in cults, they have to get deprogrammed. And we need to deprogram ourselves from our time frames, because again, we're so consistently, when we think about weight loss and health stuff, we're so consistently trained and conditioned to think in short time frames. Okay, so again, I say that again, because it's so important. So when you get a number you don't like, again, whatever it may be, weight, you know, blood work number, be lipid panel numbers, when you get these numbers, I want you to start thinking long term. I'm a huge fan of a year, right? Because again, if I said to myself, could I have lowered my cholesterol in 6 months? Yeah, probably. You know, maybe my cholesterol did lower, because I'm going to talk about some of the shifts I made anyways. But maybe I could have changed in 6 months, but I don't want a 6 month change, right? And I know you don't either. You don't want to lower your blood sugar for 6 months, right? You don't want to lose weight for 3 months. You want to lose it for good. And so I think a year is a nice spot to think on it. There's just a nice natural kind of rhythm to it. You know what I mean? Like that, there's a concept of it in your mind that's strong. And so for myself, I said, okay, I got 1 year. I'm going to go check my cholesterol reading again. And so in my mind, I knew, you know, I was setting myself up for a long-term solution. Again, a year is not the longest term, but I'm like, that's solid. Because if you can do something for a year, your chances of being able to do it for a lot longer go way up, right? 3 months is nothing. You know, I mean, again, I'm going to say it's nothing, because doing something for 3 months is pretty good. But there's been plenty of times when I've done something for 3 months and then it's just faded away. Okay. When you start doing it for a year, again, it's a lot better. So you always want to think longer term. And there's so many benefits to it. A, I think it causes you to think more, again, more sustainable methods that you'll follow. But the other thing that I think is really helpful is it takes off a lot of that pressure, right? Because when you want to make a change in your behavior initially, if we just think short term, we end up putting so much pressure on ourselves and we choose very extreme plans, and we really kind of put the screws to ourselves. So it's like if we make one little mistake, we feel like we totally blew it, you know? And so thinking longer term, again, it kind of encourages you to think in more manageable plans that you know you'll be able to keep up. And when you make mistakes, it's not as big of a deal. Okay. So again, I can't overstate how important that was. So in my mind, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to do it for 1 year, and then I'm going to get myself retested again. All right. Now, the next thing was that I manage my associations. Okay. So again, we talk about this all the time, and I'm sharing this story with you because I want to take some of the theory that I talk about, and I wanted to show you how I used it practically, you know, specifically. And so again, I started thinking long term. That was one of the first things I did. And then I begin to manage my associations. And so what I mean by that is I kind of looked at it, right? And I strategized. And I said, I think the main thing, again, I'm pretty lucky because I was relatively clean eating. And so I was like, okay, what's causing the cholesterol thing? And so it was pretty clear for me that it was probably the eggs, right? Because I was eating on average 2 to 3 eggs every day, right? And so again, clean eating, but I was eating those eggs. And so in the back of my mind, I said, I think, you know, that might have something to do with it. Now, I want to be clear about this. When you look it up, and even my doctor goes, oh, that's not the eggs. The eggs are good for you. You can eat them. Listen, we're all different. And so I'm a big believer. I kind of call it co-doctoring, right? Because it's like, you know, you want to use your doctor, obviously. They're a wealth of knowledge, obviously. However, they're not you. You know, and so they're going to give you advice, but you have to trust yourself as well, I believe. Okay. So again, I'm not a doctor, you know that. But I'm just telling you my philosophy on this is that I like to call it co-doctoring, because listen, these doctors, as much as they care, you know, and I believe a lot of them do, you know, let's face it, they only got so much bandwidth, so much energy to put into you. And so you really have to take control and ownership of your health, you know, ultimately. And that means, you know, again, like I said, I started reading lots of different stuff. And that led me to read a book that really was a game changer for me. Okay, so again, I want you to understand that this cholesterol reading that really upset me ended up being kind of the stimulus for the second biggest shift in my eating that's happened in my life. And again, over 20 years ago, when I really started losing the weight initially, I really transformed my eating. I became a lot cleaner. I became a vegetarian, right? And so I lived that way, you know, for over 20 years now. And then I got this cholesterol reading. So okay, I got to make more of a change. And so sometimes, when you start to research and you kind of open up to, receive the wisdom, it comes to you. And so, like I said, I started reading these books about, oh, cholesterol is not bad. Don't worry about that. That was more Atkins, keto type people saying that. And I don't know enough to dispute what they're saying. I'm not a doctor. But I felt myself saying, I want to believe what they're saying because I don't want to worry about my cholesterol. But I heard that voice in my head. I said, let me look at the alternative view. And that's when I found a book called How Not to Die by Dr. Greger. And it's a book basically about the nutritional effects on our health in a lot of negative ways. And so reading that really transformed how I thought about nourishment. And so again, I can't recommend that book enough. All right. How Not to Die. It's just a profound book. And basically it's saying, you need to put these nutrients into your body. One of the biggest shifts I made, again, I cut the eggs out, but what I also did is I added in a lot more beans. And so what I came to realize and find out, again, because for most of the time, again, I wanted to be healthy, but one of my main goals was really my weight. I wanted to control my weight. I also ate healthy, so I don't make it sound like I was just tracking calories. I was eating pretty clean. But it was a real shift to really think about, okay, how many nutrients, micronutrients, am I putting them into my body on a regular basis? And so one of the main things I did is I shifted. A lot of times I would eat like a piece of Ezekiel toast, avocado, egg, one egg, salsa, and I would eat that every day for lunch, right? And so I switched that over to become a salad. And so what the salad was, though, again, it's microgreens, and then there's usually 7 to 8 different vegetables in it, and chickpeas. So chickpeas in it, walnuts in it, again, it could be cucumbers, carrots, tomatoes, celery, radishes. Again, I cut them up and I put them in there. And so I ate those salads. I changed that around, and I also changed around my morning routine where I was eating smoothies in the morning. I kind of switched that around and began to eat oatmeal because they said that would help with cholesterol. It slows the absorption of food into your body and whatever, it helps with it. So those are two of the big shifts that I made. And so how, again, when we want to make changes, there's first kind of figuring out what we want to do. But how are we going to keep that up? And that's where the managing associations comes in. Because I was eating eggs regularly and I liked them. But as soon as I saw those red, because what they do is if you're any numbers that were over the recommended number were all in red, right? So I would see, again, my cholesterol readings, and then they break down the cholesterol into different types and triglycerides. And I see those red numbers. And what I did is every time I saw those red numbers, I would think about eggs. And when I thought about those eggs and I thought about those red numbers, I would feel it. And again, this is something, I'm not saying this is a healthy thing to do, but I've got, ever since my father died, I was 9, and it was very traumatic, the most traumatic thing that happened to me. So a lot of my life, anytime I feel like a chest pain, I'm thinking about my heart. It's just how it works. And so what I did is I started associating that awareness, that fear, and I associate it with the eggs. And so what I did is, again, I'm using that negative association. I'm not just saying, okay, I'm going to stop eating eggs. Do you understand? Because I liked eggs, and just saying, okay, I got to stop doing it, that's going to last as long as my willpower and my focus are there. Okay, what I did intentionally is I said, I want to change the way that I perceive eggs so that I'm not just thinking about how they taste, I'm thinking about how they're affecting me. Now, I want to be clear. I don't want you to do this with eggs because your cholesterol may be fine. Eggs may affect you completely different. All right. So I want you to understand that. However, I can almost guarantee you that there are foods that you're struggling with. And it's not enough to say, I got to stop eating those. You have to go deeper and you have to associate them to something painful. Right. That's, I think, that's a much more effective way. And so, again, you get the craving eliminator technique, right? So literally you could, if you want, depending how far you want to take it, if you're struggling with eating Ben and Jerry's, brownie fudge ice cream, what I suggest you do, if you're really serious, is you go get that ice cream and you go lock yourself in your bathroom and you stand on the scale and you watch yourself eat in front of the mirror. Whatever's the most pain, you go get a pair of clothes that are too tight for you. You put those on, stand on the scale, and watch yourself eat that ice cream in the mirror, right? What you are doing is you are reperceiving that food. You see, these foods, sometimes we say, oh, God, well, I love ice cream. And we accept that that idea and that association we have with ice cream is just the truth. And it's absolute, unchangeable. It is not. It is something that has been conditioned into you. and that you've conditioned yourself as well through experience. Okay, so when you find a problem behavior or food, what you want to do is you want to change the associations. Okay, because that's going to help you not have to rely just on willpower. Now, I want to be clear, I still used willpower too. Okay, because again, it was a new shift that I was making. I was used to kind of having this routine, and I would eat eggs, sometimes in the morning, make some scrambled eggs, and on the weekends and whatever. And so I was eating them, and I enjoyed them, and so it kind of became a staple. And so all of a sudden, the first month, I'm regularly thinking, okay, I want some eggs, and then I want to stop myself. So and that's kind of the conscious thing, but it was just when you change the associations, it becomes a lot easier to say, ah, no, I don't want to do that. I'll do something else. Okay, it's not that it doesn't just keep coming back to you, like sometimes the foods do, right? So again, go to your association level and reperceive and associate different feelings to the foods that you may be struggling with. All right. So again, I've done this with so many different things, and this was just one of the most recent ones, right? And so again, the behavioral shifts I just told you about, I shifted my breakfast, and then I shifted my lunch. And so okay, so a year goes by, I do that. Now, I could have exercised more, right? They said that helps, but I just didn't really want to. Wasn't in the mood. I have been doing a lot of yoga or whatever, but it was always the same. So that really wasn't much of a difference. And so what happened? One year later, I go back. My cholesterol reading dropped 43 points. Okay, so I'm still not under 200 where they want me to be. However, I do have to assume, and I think this is the value of going to see the doctor from a younger age. I really think one of the most valuable things about going to see the doctor is that you start to get data, and you start to feel, you start to understand what your body is. Because again, there's people I know that eat way more eggs than I do and eat a lot more stuff with cholesterol in it, and their cholesterol is fine. You know what I mean? It really is. Our bodies really are unique. Okay. And so now I know what, I know my body. I know what the cholesterol thing. So will I be able to get under 200? I don't know. I don't know how much more there is I can do to lower it. I feel comfortable being a couple points over it. I don't like the red font, but it's okay. You know what I mean? Like I'm okay with it. Will I keep working at it? Yeah. You know what I mean? I will. And then I will see where I'm at next year. But I want to point out that that is also impacting my expectations. Okay. Because, and again, what I've done, if I'd come back, my cholesterol was, 240. I don't know what I would have said. You know what I mean? I would have been surprised because, again, I like to believe in cause and effect somewheres here. But again, now I see it went down to 212. And that again is that long-term, vision of it. And so I'm gonna work on implementing a couple more things over the next year, and I'm gonna see where it goes. Okay. But so much of this process, will I exercise? Yeah, I mean, I do want to start exercising. Exercise is a funny thing. Like I said, I don't consider yoga exercising, but I am going to start exercising, and here's why. Let me share why. And this is a new thing for me. As you get older, right, and you may know this, right, if you're over 40, really, I feel like it's when it starts. I think weight loss, and this is always going to be a better. I'm lucky. Fortunately for me, weight loss has always been life or death with my father. It wasn't just, oh, I want to look better. Right. So one of the things is we need to change up our motivation, and functionality is really a key one, right? It's meaning, you start getting to your late 50s, early 60s, that weight isn't just about how you look. It starts to become about your mobility, your independence, your freedom, how long you're going to live, your quality of life, what you can do. And again, I suggest that you start looking at it like that, because the more motivation that you can put into this process, the easier it's going to be for you. Okay? So exercise for me has, and I'm going to be straight, exercise for me really has always been a vanity thing. That's just how I've thought about it, truthfully. And so for the first time, really, it's dawning on me that, your muscle tone, you start to lose muscle as you get older. And so the idea of lifting weights to maintain my strength as I get older, I find that to be a much more motivating idea. And so I can feel it in the middle of my brain. It's moved from the back of my brain to the middle of my brain, and I can feel it moving forward as something that I'm going to have to do if I want to have the quality of life that I want. And I want to make one more point about this, because One more thing that's going to happen, and I had such a great conversation, and that's what some of the shifts I'm going to talk about in a second. I had such a great conversation with one of my private clients last night, and I've been working with her for over a year, and that's one of my favorite things. You know, I've got a number of clients who I've been working with for a long time, and it's so exciting to do that because you really go through levels. You go through levels of, a lot of times we think success is just a straight line up. You know, or when weight loss is a straight line down, you know, the weight goes down, but it's just not. It's this jiggity jaggity line of ups and downs and plateaus and all the rest of it. And a lot of times in order to break through a plateau to the next level, we kind of have to break through some barrier, some limiting belief or some limiting idea we have. So I feel like the exercise is one of those things in my mind. And partly it's, I haven't, and I've dabbled with things, by the way. And when I say dabbled, I did P90X, which is intense. I did that for a couple years, but it ended up not, I don't know, I just didn't feel good, believe it or not. So anyways, it gets to the point now where I want you to understand this, because sometimes we expect we're going to get faster results than we get them, and it can feel a little discouraging. But the flip side is, and I'm going to talk about this in a few moments specifically, is that I'll use my example. So it gets to the point, and I'm almost there, where it's like I need to exercise. I need to do some strength training. And it's going to get more and more obvious as I get older. And part of me though is saying, well, I don't want to do it. But then another part says, geez, Jim, you've done so much to make your health the way you want it to be. To not do this one little piece is goofy. So I want to point that out because when we first start change, we just think, oh, okay, I'm going to change everything. Right. But again, it sounds great, but it just rarely happens that way. So the more important thing is to stick with it long term. And even if you just make small changes, again, you can utilize this same thing where you say, God, look at all the changes I've made. Look at the shifts I've made. Of course I can make this one, right? And it works both ways because A, you can model the changes you've made and you learn lessons from them. And the other one is that you can point to all the changes you've made and say, good, I got to make this other little change over here. If I've made all this, I got to do this one. So again, I think that. Connie, just a good walk or hike. I have been walking too, by the way. So I guess specifically exercising, I'm thinking like cardio, strength stuff. You know, I'm going to boost that up. Hiking would be good too. But yeah, I started walking a lot more, you know, over the last 7-8 months and that's nice as well. So I wanted to share that with you. Now let me just talk about a couple other things real quick here. Becoming good at change, right? So again, this is what I was just talking about. This is kind of an interesting point. This came up from a conversation I had last night, is that so sometimes, right, you've been struggling for a while and all of a sudden you start to make some changes. You start eating better, you start drinking more water and you're going to bed earlier and you're feeling better. And so, you know, say a year goes by and you've lost some weight, right? But it's not as much as you wanted to lose and you still got a lot more that you want to change and do. One way to look at that though, is to really kind of look back and appreciate your growth. Appreciate all the changes you've made over the last year. So understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we have that finite goal that we're looking at. And again, you know, say the goal takes a couple years. Let's just say that, right? And so maybe you get the first couple months, you know, the first 6 months, first year goes by, and you're not at your goal. And it can feel discouraging if all we're looking at is that end goal. Okay. So what I'm saying to you is that sometimes you want to look backwards at where you started and appreciate the little things that you changed or the big things you changed. Right? So the person I was talking to last night made enormous changes, right? She used to eat fast food 5-6 times a week. And now she doesn't eat any. It's been like a year. She hasn't had any fast food. Right? That's tremendous. And she's made these other shifts. I mean, her breakfast routine for food is so sweet, locked down, really good. She got a whole nice routine of doing kind of some stretching exercises and meditating, the whole thing. She's locking down her lunch, making that super healthy. And so it's been a real transformation in behavior. And but again, the results aren't exactly where she wants them to be, which is normal. Again, things just take longer than we think. But so, you know, to look back and say, okay, where did I start? And look at the things that I have done. You know, it builds up your self-esteem. It builds up your self-image. You know, if there's anything I could share with you, it's to not just rely on beating yourself up. And that's just kind of hardwired into the way we think about weight loss specifically. There's so much beating ourselves up we think we have to do to get ourselves to change. But I'm telling you that that's not effective. And I know this for a fact. I have plenty of experience seeing this. It just doesn't work long term. When it does work, it's a miserable quality of life. So again, look back at the shifts you've made and the changes you've made and appreciate them. Okay. Because again, they boost up the self-esteem. They boost up how you think about yourself. And you can learn, you can say, okay, how did I do that? Right. Again, you start to model your successes. You start to think of yourself as a more successful person. Right. So it's so important. And then it's the idea of looking forward. Okay. So this is for you if you haven't gotten the results you've wanted in X amount of time. Right, in certain ways. But what we want to do is we want to look at it and say, wow, I've gotten really good at creating change. And this is something that is very profound because if you look around, there's a good chance that people you know, right, that you may be the best, the person who's changed the most in the last year, the last 6 months, the last month. Right? Now, again, I'm going to make this a competition. But what I'm saying is, if say the last year, you've made all sorts of changes, and maybe they're more than most, because again, change is hard. All right? So I want you to think about, the changes that you have made. And however, again, whatever your time period is, think about the changes you've made in that period of time. And you can reflect and think about other people you know. Have they made that quality of change in that time? Right? And again, it's not a competition thing, but what I want you to say is, okay, that was just a starting point. This is a new way of being for me. You know what I mean? I'm approaching this differently. And so you look at that and you start it there. So again, I'll throw some numbers out, right? Say you're 50 years old and you've been struggling your way for 20 years. And all of a sudden, you start this approach, and again, it's a slower approach. It's a more kind of inside out approach, but you stick with it for 6 months to a year. Right? You change up some of your eating, you drink more water, you're going to sleep a little bit more. A year goes by and you're like, wow, I've really made a lot of changes. I still got work to do, right? We all do. There's like a lot of things I want to do and I want to get better. But wow, this last year, I finally did it. I started moving forward. I kind of made a line in the sand and I'm moving forward. And so what you want to do is you want to think, okay, that's just 1 year. That's just 6 months. What can the next 6 months be? What can the next year be? You know what I mean? So it's not, we tend to look backwards and we say, oh my God. And then even about this one, sometimes when we do well, all of a sudden, right, so we're 50 years old and that's it, I'm going to make a change. And we make a change for a year. Still, sometimes in our mind, we can say, oh my God, why didn't I do this sooner? Why did I waste those 30 years, messing up? I should have done better. I should have known. You see, you can't do that, right? Let it go. Let it go. Right? Every day is a new day. Right? But we want to appreciate from when we started making these changes and started using this approach and looking at it that way, because you're learning a you like I said, right, you're becoming good at change, right? That's the point. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the skill that you're learning here, is that you're learning how to change. And that's a skill that's going to serve you. But this isn't dieting. This isn't where you just got yourself to do something for a short period of time. You want to appreciate that you're getting good at change. And I could tell you that's why I was able to make the changes I made last year. I went into it knowing that I'm believing that I'm a master of change. I've done it. I can point to different areas of my life, times when I've done it over and over again. You see what I mean? So I want you to think to yourself that you're getting to be really good at change. That's just one more layer of what you're doing here. Okay? Carol, that's a great idea, by the way. A gratitude list celebrating your successes. You'll feel like $1 million and you'll be surprised at how much you've accomplished, by the way. And when you point that list out and you feel grateful for it, then you'll have a list of things you want to make even better. Okay? So that's a really great idea to do. Okay. So the next two, let me touch on this real quick. What is the weight doing for you? Right? So this is just a real quick one. Excuse me. I got a little bit of cold last week. It's my birthday last week and ate like crap. So, okay. So, what is the weight doing for you? This is just kind of a paradigm shifter right here. And this, you might have a little denial, maybe a little kind of, don't say that to me, Jim, is nothing good. But sometimes we want to be overweight for certain reasons. And I'll give you the classic one that I hear most. But sometimes women are nervous for their safety. And they use the weight as a way to protect themselves, to feel secure, to feel kind of a boundary, a barrier from the world. they feel like it's protecting them. And so I want you to look at, again, this is how you ask the question, what is the weight doing for me positively? Right? What am I using the weight for? Why do I want to be overweight? Right? A weird question. I know. And listen to me. Well, is it always there? Sometimes, kind of. But if you don't get to it, it's fine. Okay. But if you ask the question, what is the weight doing for me? Because again, consciously, every behavior we take, there's a positive intention behind it. And so this is a very powerful question, because if you get to something, if, for example, you do say, oh, yeah, you know what? I kind of want to be overweight because it makes me feel safer, you know, or around men, or I just feel more secure in my surroundings. If you can recognize that, if that is a situation that's applying to you, one of the great things about that is that you can reclaim your power, you know, because for a lot of people struggling with weight, so much of the conversation is, oh, why can't I lose the weight? Why can't I just eat better? I know what to do. Why can't I do this? But once you realize there's this unconscious benefit you're getting out of it, all of a sudden you can reclaim your power again. And it's not, oh, why can't I do it? It's, I wanted to be overweight. I wanted to be overweight more than I wanted to lose weight. Okay, so again, that's just something I want to throw out there. And again, I've taught a whole lesson on that, so I prefer to kind of break it down more. Maybe I shouldn't even put it in here just as a one-off thing, but it's a thought experiment. So this week, if you get a chance, you know, just think to yourself, if you're struggling with it all, ask yourself why, what good is it doing for me, if anything? And again, you can come up to some pretty interesting things. I'm a little older than the old days. Skinny people are usually sick people, or they were nervous types. Connie, perfect. I remember one client specifically, and it's kind of like what you're saying. And here's another example of this, though. She, when we got into this topic, her grandmother, who had always been bigger, got sick. And she lost a bunch of weight. And so she always associated being thin to being sick, and being overweight to being healthy. You see what I mean? So that's what I'm talking about on that level. Because if you can identify that, then you can resolve it. If you don't identify it, it's always just kind of running in the background, just doing its thing. Okay? Because if that is a belief you have, right? Yeah, the old days, skinny people. And I hear the same thing, by the way. I remember when I started losing weight, all I would hear is, are you sick? You sick? Jesus, eat something. You look sick. Right? So I had to work through that, because that's a hypnotic suggestion that I was given repeatedly over and over and over and over and over again. And sometimes I'd start to believe it. And so I had to do some inner work. I had to deal with it. How do I want to think about this? Is that true? or do I not? Yeah. The skinny model, Twiggy. Right. So again, there, you know, and that's why I always go with the program yourself thin, because thin is your definition of thin. You understand? It's not being emaciated. It's your definition of how you want to be. But there's a lot of negative associations to it, you know? And I know people talk about the overweight body shaming stuff, but I'm telling you, there is a lot of negative association to being thin, right? And especially we live in a culture where 75% of the population is obese or overweight. So it makes you unusual. When you eat healthy, you're weird. When you're a guy and you eat healthy, you're not a man. So you see what I'm saying? There's a lot of unconscious stuff that's packed into this. Okay, so I'm going to do a whole lesson on this soon. So I'm just going to leave it at that for now. But think about this, okay? Let it kind of roll around in your mind and see if you can come up with anything. And then the final one I want to talk about, and this was this came from a new person I'm working with. And it was interesting, because this is a reinforcement that our behaviors flow from our state. And so what I mean by that is, a lot of times when we overeat, we tend to think about it and say, God, I should have stopped myself from doing that. But that's not enough, because the reason you went into that behavior is the state you were in. Okay. And so you got to go deeper with it. It's not just enough to say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have just stopped myself. Because a lot of times we're eating for emotional shifts. We're negative. We're feeling depressed. We're feeling angry. We're feeling upset, lonely, whatever negative emotional state we're in. And the food is a real convenient, easy way that we've trained ourselves to feel better. So a big part of really, really, truly mastering your weight, your eating, and your health is to separate the emotions from the behavior, you know, to not rely on the food. Again, I'm just going to say, it's very much like addiction behavior, where we're using the food. Again, you got to eat to eat, you know that, but I'm talking about addictive food behaviors. It's very much like alcohol, drug, gambling, addictive behaviors, where all of a sudden we're starting to use the food for emotional, to feel things emotionally. And so if that's the case, again, it's not about beating yourself up about it. It's about taking a look at it and starting to separate, and finding new strategies, new ways to feel the things you want to feel, okay, that don't involve the food. But that emotional component is so important. And I think a lot of people just try and they just try and rely on that willpower. I'm just gonna, and I see this all the time, right? Tell me if you haven't experienced this one. Okay, you know what? I want to lose some weight. I gotta eat better. And so I'm not gonna snack at night anymore, right? But the snacking at night was your release valve. That was your relaxation, right? And so now all of a sudden you get through the first couple nights and you didn't eat, but you're ready to kill someone, right? Because you've had no, there's been no way to let off steam. You kind of stopped that positive intention behind that behavior was that you relaxed. Okay. However, there's other ways to relax. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, we want to get rid of the food, but we want to keep the relaxation. And ideally we want to make the relaxation even better. Okay. That's the secret. But again, it all starts, the first step is becoming aware of it. You know what I mean? So don't worry. It's not just about, oh, just let me just stop it. Black, white. That's it. Durr, I'm done. No, it's observing. It's paying attention. It's strategizing. Okay. It's looking at it and it's picking it apart. Okay, that's the real secret. Again, we're not just relying on this willpower thing. It's goofy. I always say I always reference learning a language. I love that. Because if you're, I'm going to learn a language. I'm just going to. That's not how you do it. You know what I mean? It just takes time. It takes practice. Depending on your teacher, depending on your method of learning, these are all the things you want to figure out. Okay, so it's the same thing with the weight loss and the health. Stop trying to rely on really just simple, superficial, basic. Strategies that don't work. Instead, start to look a little bit deeper into things. Okay. And remember that your eating does flow from your state. And so if you could influence your state without food, you're automatically increasing your ability to influence your eating in a much more natural and sustainable way. Okay. Cool. So is there any, I just want to touch a couple of things. Oh, Connie, yeah, never thought about it that way, but yes, I am pretty good at making changes. That's super, by the way. That's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the ultimate change you want to make, I get it. But part of being able to make that ultimate change is the belief you have in yourself. And as you start to, again, there's different levels to this. So as you start to point out and look at, oh, yeah, well, I mean, that changed, that changed, that changed. I tell you, like, I reference my water habit daily. I swear to God, I do. Because it was hard. It's still there. I have to monitor it. It's just something I have to keep in my mind, but it's also a source of tremendous pride for me. It really is. And people, you guys get it, but people, I don't tell people this 'cause they think I'm an insane or a nut job, outside of the work I do. But, I look to that. It makes me feel good. So yeah, Connie, that's great. Yes, you are good at making changes. And the more you start to believe that, the better you become with it. Right. So I'm glad you said that. Pat wrote, I love change in my environment, but changing my habits is hard. Yeah, that's true. It just is, right? It is hard. So it is. But again, it's worth it, right? And so anything that's hard, right, it's gonna take time to figure out and master. And so I'm a big fan of that sort of belief. Instead of just looking for the easy thing, again, I go back to learning a language or learning a musical instrument. Like you start off knowing it's hard. Do you know what I mean? But that makes the whole process different. Like get a college degree. Yeah, this is going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. And when we go into it, a whole different expectation, of how long it's going to take and what it's going to take from us. And with weight loss, it's always like, oh, do this and it's super simple. Oh, just do it this way. It's so easy. Every message is about how fast it can be and how easy it'll be. And it's just not. And so I think as soon as we get rid of that concept and that idea, then we can get down to business, get down to work. Yeah, changing habits is hard. And anyone that says it's not, I mean, there's strategies that make it easier, right? But let's face it, it's not just easy enough to say, oh, I'm just going to change this habit. It just doesn't work that way. Okay. So again, different habits are, respond differently, but yeah, it is hard. And so I just want to validate that for you, Pat. It has nothing to do with you. It just has to do with changing habits is hard, period. Okay. But again, there are tools you can use. And so remember, and program yourself to the habit. Thing, go through that again. By the way, you'll get some new ideas with it. Connie said, guess I'm in the midst of a change. I did a lot of hiking out in the Grand Canyon and Zion Canyon last couple of weeks. Awesome. right? And you probably feel great from it. You know, again, I don't know. It's funny. So one thing though, right? And that's a big thing about environment. So it's like you could be out wherever you were in you know, Grand Canyon, Zion, and it lends itself, right? It's got a different pull. It's easy to hike in those places. It's so beautiful, right? It's just almost like it's made for hiking. And then maybe you go back to your normal situation and it's just not as special for hiking. And so again, if you want to keep up the activity, you know, there's a couple different ways to do it. You know, you kind of research and see if there are places to hike. You know, that's an option. You transform it into a different activity, you know, that might be similar. Walking, riding a bike, whatever. But again, that's awesome that you did it. And now I guess the challenge is to keep it up, you know, in the way that you want to. Cool. All right, everyone. Well, I guess we made it happen. So I appreciate you guys sticking out with me there, and we'll get back to everything will be normal next week. I expecting my computer to be all set up and back how we go. So I'm glad we got through this one here. So all right, everyone. Have a great week, a super duper week, and we'll be back next week with a normal lesson. And I'll talk to you then. Good night, everyone.